Well, also, we wanted to fix as many of the problems caused by, viewed by us and Senator Warren, caused by the 2005 BAPSIPA. I have to stand here and say how it's the previous panel I did not recognize. There's always right this argument about how do you read the acronym. All right, so another big goal was to distinguish between can pay and can't pay debtors. And the idea for us was not to focus in sort of like the means test, you know, super complicated stuff, but it's really to focus on people who we set the threshold at 135% of the median for a household size. People who make more than that are can't pay debtors. Below that, can't pay debtors, right? And so for can't pay debtors, the idea is to make it as simple as possible and minimize the paperwork. So the forms would be different. Obviously, that's not in the bill, but it's a directive to the Rules Committee to change the forms. There's no more things like credit counseling or the means test or presumptive non-dischargeability of student loans. That's all gone. Also, the criminal fines and fees non-dischargeability is changed to be hopefully very limited. And no more waiting until all payments have been made under a plan to get a discharge. And this is accomplished through a sort of pseudo combination of Chapter 7 and 13 into Chapter 10. And every individual with debts less than $7.5 million is eligible for Chapter 10. Over that, they'd have to go to Chapter 11. They'll file mostly the same documents and sort of evidence that is required now, but a little bit less. There is a provision for the payment of attorney's fees. That's one of the issues with the racial disparities, right, is that people are filing these no money down Chapter 13s, which are really just, you know, they're perfectly eligible for seven. They just cannot pay the attorney fee in advance. And so it stretches out over time. And as we know, Chapter 13s are not only more expensive, but less likely to get a discharge, for someone, you know, for you to obtain a discharge. So the cannot pay distinction is really about income and assets and not about expenses. So debtors can, there's just no looking into what debtors are spending their money on. It's, you know, that's their business. It's just not, we never thought appropriate. And at the end of the day, that's not really what, you know, if you think about, well, can you or can you not pay, which is what I do a lot of debt collection work on the academic side. And that's what debt collectors always say. Like, we don't want to take money from people who really, truly can't pay. That's what we're trying to determine. So this, you know, I mean, who cares what they're spending their money on? That's their thing. So the bill centers around this minimum payment obligation, which is essentially, it starts from the point of view, the what I mentioned, which is if you make less than 135% of the median household income for your jurisdiction, for your state, then you have no minimum payment obligation, unless you want to redeem any of your non-exempt assets. And then that is sort of added, right? The amount of your non-exempt assets is added to your minimum. You have to pay for that. If you make more, then you have a minimum payment obligation, which is essentially a graduated minimum payment obligation. And it starts from any amount over 135% of the median. And then it's like the tax system, right? It's not, you still get your 135% of that income. And, you know, you could say that's a really high number. And that, you know, it's a number that ultimately made it, that we debated, and ultimately that's what it made into the draft bill. But obviously that number is changeable. The idea with that number was that we were looking at Bob Lawless's consumer bankruptcy data, and the people who were making that, you know, amount of money in his study, which are, of course, people who filed bankruptcy, obviously selected this group. But they, those people were basically, had no assets for the most part, and, you know, had very simple cases. So the can pay debtors who make more than that threshold, have to pay, actually, you know what, let me go. They cannot pay, they can pay, my language, those folks who make less money than 135% that cannot pay debtors, they're able to get a discharge pretty much immediately upon filing. The idea being, it's like a simple no assets heaven. You just, as soon as we verify in terms of the paperwork submitted that you are in that category, then you can just get your discharge and it's entered, it's supposed to be entered pretty much immediately.